Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. A few news stories. The main one we want to talk about, well, we'll get to in just a moment. But first, this on an actress, Naomi Campbell. Boy, is she having trouble with the law or what? She just pled guilty to assault in a foul-mouthed air rage incident. And she was on a British Airlines flight, and she was demanding that the captain find her missing luggage. And she became violent when police tried to escort her off the aircraft. And she pleaded guilty then to assaulting two police officers and to violating a public disturbance of the peace charge. Okay, now, she previously... This Naomi Campbell, I don't even know who she is. Do you know who she is? I'm looking at people in the studio. You guys know who Naomi is? Previously, she spent 5 days as part of a community service sentence in New York, mopping floors and cleaning toilets for throwing a cell phone at a housekeeper. Now, before that, a few years before that, she had a previous incident back in 1998. With a telephone, she threw a telephone at one of her assistants. Wow, this girl's got a problem with phones, no? She's got a telephone problem. Remember Hillary committed a domestic violence crime in the White House? Remember that? She picked up a glass ashtray, was it, and hurled it at Bill Clinton, the president? An attack on the president's life? Secret Service rushed in and... At the time, nobody did anything about it. So here at Bob Enyart Live, you know, what are we supposed to do? Somebody's attacked the president. So I called the D.C. Police Department to report a domestic violence attack. Yeah, was she charged long distance? I don't know if Naomi Campbell was charged long distance. I don't know. But I called long distance, the D.C. police, to report a domestic violence incident. And the operator asked, well, what was the address? Where did this occur? And I said, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And you know what she actually said? She said, well, what district is that in? I said, I asked her, do you know where 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue was? She said, sir, this is a big city. No, I don't know where 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is. I said, well, it's in the district with all the big buildings. She said, oh, you mean District 1? I said, yeah, District 1, you know, with, you know, where Congress is and the White House and all. She said, all right, let me see. District 1, domestic violence. And anyway, the report, it didn't go anywhere. Needless to say. So the laws don't affect royalty, right? In America, liberals advocate that royalty not be held responsible to obey the laws. And so Bill and Hillary certainly could not have such insignificant laws like those against domestic violence apply to them. No, that would get in the way of some agenda or other. Also, the San Francisco Chronicle is losing $1 million a week, and newspaper revenue across the country. Last year, it fell about 8%, and the whole industry was in a crisis, and they thought, well, now it'll level off, except that now it's fallen another 12% below that. And so it looks like we'll have some newspaper closures, mergers, even bankruptcies. And it reminds me of Jake Jabs. You know Jake Jabs? Who's Jake Jabs? If you live in Colorado, you know Jake Jabs. He owns that chain, that American Furniture Warehouse chain. And back when the Rocky Mountain News and Denver Post, you know, they're both going broke for many reasons. And newspapers, they deserve it because, you know, they're evil. And they're losing readership to all the alternative media sources, and including the internet, or especially the internet. And they're losing ad revenue to the internet, to Google and Yahoo. Well, I remember when the News and the Post, you know, they're both struggling just to stay in business. And so they have this joint operating agreement. They want to merge their business aspects, like their advertising sales, the printing of their newspapers, the distribution, the circulation. They want to merge all that and just keep their editorial department separate. So have two papers, but operating under one JOA, joint operating agreement. So Jake Jabs, who is extremely successful, furniture entrepreneur, I admired him for years because of his success in building this furniture machine and helping hundreds of thousands of families in Colorado furnish their homes. Good job, Jake Jabs. Except here he is trying to get the government to stop these two businesses from merging. What right would the government have to tell the News and the Post you can't merge your business operations? I mean, that's the kind of ego and control freak attitude that liberalism brings about in people. So I lost respect. I was disappointed in Jake Jabs for him doing that. And just imagine today, if he succeeded, they could be two of the newspapers going out of business today. And not that I care on the grounds of, hey, they're wicked. They advocate homosexuality and killing unborn children and socialism and so on. So they're evil, and godless education and government schooling. So they're evil. So I wouldn't mind it for that reason. They're evil. But it's discouraging. But when we see these newspapers struggling, rightly so, then it sort of puts a smile on your face that what comes around goes around. Okay, now, big news today. A comedian has died. George Carlin died yesterday. You know George Carlin? He died. He's had heart trouble. And he just performed last weekend in Las Vegas. My son Nathaniel lives in Las Vegas, out there with our dear friends, Mike Tiemann, Matt Sutherland. Well, George Carlin had just performed last weekend in Las Vegas. Yesterday, he went into the hospital, and last night, he died. He's dead. Of course, George Carlin is infamous for his profane comedy. And I think of the times that I've appeared on ABC's Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher and with younger comedians, younger than George Carlin, and one, Jimmy Kimmel, who, you know, comedians who have followed in Carlin's footsteps. And on two separate occasions on the air, I mentioned to Kimmel that in the past, Hollywood had bona fide comedians, but today they have crotch humorists. So I told Jimmy Kimmel to his face, Jimmy, you're not a comedian, you're a crotch humorist. And he didn't like that all that much, especially 8 months later when we happened to be on the same show together. And I said it to him again. And then they reran that show. So it was three times on national TV. People got the idea that Jimmy Kimmel is a crotch humorist. But now the death of George Carlin marks the passing of a generation. You know, probably Hugh Hefner will be dead within a year, probably. And maybe Larry Flint will be dead by the end of the decade. Now, I'm not prophesying here. I'm just cross-referencing, you know, these countercultural revolutionaries with the actuarial tables. I'm just, you know, they're going to be dead soon enough. So we have the passing away of an icon of America's descent into vulgarity. And as a Christian talk show host, I think I could give you reasons, probably, seven reasons, I'd say. I'm just trying to make a list here. Seven reasons why George Carlin did not go to hell. I think I could give you seven reasons why George Carlin did not. I said not. Yeah, not. You don't think so. you don't doubt it? You're sure? Okay. I apologize to the audience. There's some interference with the program from the studio audience. Yeah, I think, let's see, do I have seven? One, two, three. Yeah, I think I can give you seven reasons why George Carlin did not go to hell. Reason number one, because he did more evil things than good things. I don't think he went to hell because of that. Reason two, because he didn't tithe or give enough money to church. Reason three, because he promoted killing unborn children. No, he didn't go to hell because he promoted abortion. Reason four, because he had a filthy mouth. No, that didn't send him to hell. Reason five, because he didn't keep the commandments. Did he go to hell? No, he didn't go to hell because he didn't keep the commandments. Reason number six, why George Carlin did not go to hell, because he wasn't a Republican. He didn't go to hell because he was a liberal or a Democrat. Reason seven, why George Carlin did not go to hell, because he didn't go to church. All right. Now, did he go to hell because of any of those reasons? No, you don't go to hell for those reasons. You go to hell if you despise the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you couldn't care less that Jesus Christ suffered and died for you, so that if you would humble yourself and ask God to forgive you of your sin, of hurting others and yourself, and of grieving God even, and trust in Jesus Christ, if you won't do those things, then that's why you go to hell. So George Carlin did not go to hell because he did more evil things than good things. Remember the criminal on the cross? The criminal on the cross, the one mocked Jesus Christ even as he was about to die, and the other repented and said, "Lord, remember me when you enter your kingdom." And he looked to the other criminal. Jesus was the innocent one being put to death. The only person in history that I know of who was found innocent by the court, and then sentenced to death. The only person who was born in a stable and laid in a manger. Why? Because he would be the Passover lamb. He would be the Passover lamb who would be sacrificed on Passover and shed his blood so that others could be saved. So Jesus Christ, the one person in history where most of the world knows the circumstances of his birth and his life and his death, when an innocent man was sentenced to be executed. How's that? The things that happened to Jesus Christ were historically extraordinary and prophesied. And people are without excuse for rejecting him or despising him, like Thomas Jefferson, who made his own New Testament, the Jefferson Bible, who cut out everything he rejected, including everything about Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior, and everything about Jesus Christ being crucified for our sins and being raised from the dead. So I could give you seven reasons why Thomas Jefferson is not in hell. But since George Carlin now is within his first 24 hours of knowing that there is a God, George Carlin now knows there is a God, and he knows that he's not him. Those are two things he knows now. So George Carlin did not go to hell because he did more evil things than good things. Look at that criminal on the cross. He said to the other criminal, "We are being punished justly, but this man did no evil." He's being punished unjustly. So that criminal on the cross, he did more evil things than good things. He didn't repent until the last hour of his life. But Jesus Christ assured him that he would remember that man when he entered his kingdom. And so George Carlin did not go to hell because he did more evil than good. That's not why people go to hell. God does not weigh your sins in a balance. If so, the entire message of the Bible would be different, and Jesus would not have had to die. And reason two, George Carlin did not go to hell because he didn't give enough money to church. He didn't go to hell because he didn't tithe. He didn't give 10%. At our church, Denver Bible Church, we tell people don't tithe. Matthew 23, Jesus said tithing was of the law. Matthew 23:23, tithing was part of the law. And it was, of course, in the Mosaic law. And cultists like Mormons, they tithe really well. They take their income, they put it in a calculator, they put multiplied by 0.1, they get 10%, and that's what they give. You don't need a relationship with God to give a lot of money. Now, God would like us to serve and honor him by supporting ministry and outreach in the work of the body of Christ, but the Apostle Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver, and we give not based on the cold calculation of a formula, but we give based on the peace of God ruling in our heart. So a couple is struggling, and they come to Denver Bible Church, and they're having a hard time paying their bills. It's a one-income family. Mom stays at home, homeschooling the two kids. Dad works 1.5 jobs, and the government takes 35% of 40% of what they make. And housing is high, and energy is high, gas is high, food is high. And we say, well, you're struggling because you're not giving enough money to the church. No, we don't say that. We say, look, God has an eternal investment in you guys. And God owns the cattle on 1,000 hilltops. And he doesn't really need your money. But he needs you. He needs your heart. He needs your life. He needs your family. So just with your wife staying home and raising your children and homeschooling them and giving them a Christian upbringing, education, that's as though she were working and you had two incomes and you were given 50% to ministry. Only this ministry happens to be the Christian homeschooling of your own children. And so you guys, right off the bat, you're giving more than the family who tithes and double tithes. And so if you need the money for your bills, then use it for your bills. If you can only give $1 in the collection when you go to church, give $1 if that's all you could give for now. And ask God to help you be responsible with your income and honor him with your expenses. And then over time, you guys will have a lifetime of giving to the Lord. And your children and your grandchildren even will give far more than you can possibly calculate and receive eternal reward. So, no, George Carlin did not go to hell because he didn't give enough money to church or because he didn't tithe. At Denver Bible Church, we don't even take a collection. We have a box in the back. And the sermons we preach on giving every week. No, we don't. What? Not even once a year do we have a sermon on giving money to church. Let's see. Reason three, George Carlin did not go to hell because he promoted abortion. If you search for him on YouTube, you'll see a video, and he's putting down pro-lifers, basically mocking pro-lifers and defending those who kill unborn boys and girls. And George Carlin did not go to hell because he was pro-choice. That's not why he went to hell. You know, the criminal on the cross, he was evil. He was being executed, and justly, not unjustly. The Holy Spirit decided what would go into the Gospels. And the things that were said during the crucifixion, not everything said was recorded in the Bible. Only those things that God wanted to be recorded were recorded. And one of those things was this new convert said that we are being punished justly. That affirmation of the death penalty, that was put into Scripture, God's eternal word, by the Holy Spirit. For one reason, because it was true. They were being punished justly. They absolutely were. And think of the wicked things that they had done, both those criminals, to justify capital punishment for them. If you Google the words God, death, penalty, those three words, we have been thrilled for, what, 5 years now, 8 years, 10 years? we've had an article that's come up number one out of millions of pages on Google, God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment. But people don't go to hell because they advocate the legalization of abortion. That's not why they go to hell. This guy who died on the cross, he certainly could have been a murderer. We call him a thief on the cross, and that's not a good idea to refer to him as a thief on a cross. There are different Greek words used to describe him in the Gospels, and you could translate one thief, criminal is better. And in fact, I looked up that word and how it was used by Josephus, first century Jewish historian, and he described criminals on the Temple Mount who were murdering worshipers to steal their money, and he used the same word that was used for this criminal on the cross who was crucified. And so it's not just a thief, he was a murderer. Somebody is a criminal, guilty of a capital crime. So George Carlin did not go to hell because he was pro-abortion. What's the fourth reason here? He didn't go to hell because he had a filthy mouth, right? Because he had a profane mouth. He didn't go to hell for that reason. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court issued a ruling that was based somewhat on Carlin's seven filthy words you cannot say on television. Remember, he did a routine to that effect back, what was that, 35, 40 years ago? And the Supreme Court, their own ruling was pretty wicked. And they did multiple rulings on this topic. And they came up with some standard of obscenity, which is really tragic. According to the Supreme Court, and really sadly, many Christian leaders today now agree with the grave wickedness that was issued by the U.S. Supreme Court, this distinction of obscenity from just your typical profanity and pornography and so on. According to the U.S. Supreme Court, and now agreed to by most of our national Christian ministries, you know, remember back when slavery was legal? If there were Christian leaders who knew it was wrong, they could say slavery is wrong and we have to seek to abolish it. That wouldn't mean that they know how to abolish it, but they should be able to say that this form of slavery that is legal in America is immoral, it dishonors God, and we should seek to abolish it. The same thing is true today with pornography and fornication and adultery and homosexuality. Our Christian leaders should be able to say, pornography is wrong. It should not be legal to traffic in human sexuality. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. Adultery is wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. These things should not be legal. We don't know how to make them illegal, but we should advocate the recriminalization of sex outside of marriage and trafficking in human sexuality and prostitution. And people say, oh, prostitution is illegal. No, it's not. It's legal nationwide, just different forms of it. You pay women to produce pornographic videos, where they're having sex with men. That's a form of prostitution. What, just because you video it, it's not prostitution? You're not paying a woman to have sex? Of course you are. What, if a producer is allowed to pay a woman to have sex, but your regular John is not? I mean, what kind of absurd distinctions do people make when they break down the boundaries that God has set up? So the Supreme Court has ruled on this absurd standard for obscenity that it has to violate the standards of the average person in a community. So that obviously is a standard of moral relativism, and our Christian leaders should be able to realize that and explain that. You know, the average standard of a Jew in Berlin might be that you could beat, I'm sorry, the average standard of a German in Berlin might be that you could beat a Jew. You don't get laws based on right and wrong, if they come from an average standard of an individual or a community. And let's see, I'd like to take a call from Denver. Robert, welcome to Bob and Yaret Live.
Hey, Bob, your conversation today, I've got a question for you. For the person living in deepest, darkest jungle, hasn't been discovered yet.
Yes.
He's never even heard of Jesus. How do you believe that God will deal with him?
Well, we have in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2 and Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul addressing the unsolicited, those who have never heard the testimony of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says that they will be judged by the law that God wrote on their hearts, either acquitting them or convicting them.
Right, right, right. Now that's what I'm getting at, because Jesus said in Luke 13, verse 3 and verse 5, he says basically the same thing. I tell you, unless you repent, you will likewise perish.
Hmm.
So my question is, if the person really hasn't heard of Christ, does that always hold water? I would think, if the person repents of murder, if he repents of lying.
Well, if the creation itself, there's a general revelation in the creation where in Romans 10, Paul is quoting the Hebrew scriptures and saying that God's message has gone out to all the world through the creation. And if a pagan who had never heard the name of Jesus Christ cried out to God and said, I know that God is not a cow, or God is not the moon. I know there is one creator God who made me, and I have violated your standard of holiness. Please forgive me. I don't know your name, but I want to know your name. Jesus said, if anyone will seek, he will find. And if anyone knocks, the door will be open. And it will not be that someone will be held accountable for something they never heard. That would not be just. God is not an unjust God. But we're flat out of time, Robert. Thanks so much for your call. Fascinating topic. George Carlin did not go to hell because he did more evil than good, or he didn't give enough money to church, or because he promoted abortion, or because he had a filthy mouth, or because he didn't keep the commandments, or because he wasn't a Republican, or because he didn't go to church. George Carlin went to hell because he rejected Jesus Christ, who died for him. We're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school. Arvada, Colorado. Maranatha Christian Center. May God bless you.